You know, as I mentioned to you last week, I hope that you're able to grab these scripture verses and take them home and think on them, meditate on them, and utilize them so that you go through the week, that you make it a part of your Bible study. We're not just coming here on a Sunday morning, check off the checklist that we got to church on this Sunday, we got to church this week, okay, we filled our quota, we're done. I hope that's not the frame of mind that you have, but we want to give you all that we can so that when you go home, you've got notes, you've got Bible scriptures, you got things you can dig into the Word and allow the Spirit of God to continue to work in and through you throughout this week. Amen? So when we're talking about breaking the power that breaks every chain, we're going to look at a miracle that happened that Jesus performed on a Gadarene man. He meets this man in a very odd situation, if you will. We find ourselves meeting people in the most unexpected ways, don't we? And often we find the most unexpected questions that come. We get involved with people and we try to help and we do what we can and ministering to them and encouraging them in their walk with the Lord or maybe even coming to know the Lord. And we find situations that are just beyond our control and maybe even beyond our answers. But here's what's exciting is that this man had a serious set of problems. Serious set of problems. And when he came to Jesus, Jesus didn't hesitate. Didn't run him off. Didn't chase him away. Didn't shudder and, oh my, am I going to be able to help this man? He does, he did, and he continues to. Amen? You know, when we come today, there's a lot of times that we come, and can I admit to you as your pastor, I've come with a lot of baggage in my head and on my mind, and just personally struggling to be excited and pumped up for the message today. Now some of you are thinking, oh great, this is going to be a boring message. It's going to be like every other message I preach, I guess, you know. But the content is not, okay? The content is not. But sometimes we just come and we're just tired. Been beat up from the week. Maybe it's just been long. You know, earlier in the week I was all excited. It's like, oh, I've got it. I've got this down pat. But can I impress upon you, I think it's been a spiritual battle to get here. So maybe there is something in this message that you need today that's finally going to flip that switch, break that chain, break that thinking, break that weakness that has just been dragging you down. You finally realize, why am I living underneath this? It's been a battle to get my own head and my own heart right. So what we're going to do before I even read the text, I know we don't do that usually. We're going to break tradition, just like Brother Mike said. If you forget the words, make it up. Now, we're not making up the message. We're not making up the scriptures. But let's change this up a little bit today. I need your prayer. I don't know if any of you remember singing as a kid, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I was griping and complaining, Sister Jan, the whole time I was in that children's choir. I did not want to be in that choir singing that goofy song. How little did I know as an older person, I would realize, yeah, that was me. That's your pastor today. I don't know what the battle is and why, but I'm going to ask you to pray for me, and I'm going to pray for you. And we're going to find out what it is that God wants to do with us today. We're going to settle whatever it is that you're struggling with, what I'm struggling with. We're going to settle this today. We're going to do that by, God, I've been fighting this. I'm struggling with this. And maybe you're like me, I don't even know all the ins and outs of why, but this is just dragging me down and I want it out of the way so that we can see you. Are you willing to pray that prayer with me this morning? Well, let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Lord, I come and I just confess my sin to you and what a weak individual that I am. But Lord, you have told us that when we are at our weakest, we can be our strongest in you. So, Lord, I just lay it at your feet. I turn it over to you, for it's you that we want to hear from today. It's you that we need today. And, Lord, just like the Gadarene man in the scripture we're about to read about today, Lord, we just come running to you and we bow before you because you are the ultimate authority. You are the final authority. You are the first word and the last word. There will be none that will argue, none that will debate you, but we will all stand before you to give an account. We'll all stand before you either as those who are recipients of the forgiveness of sin or recipients of the judgment of sin. Lord, I beg of you that each and every one that is here today, that they will have a personal relationship with you, and that they know that you have forgiven them of their sin, and they have chosen to follow you and to seek you as their Lord and their Savior for all eternity, as they have been made alive again through the power of the Spirit of God to serve you. And Lord, those of us that have accepted you as our Savior, that, Lord, we would be serious about that commitment that we've made, but more than that, that we'd be serious about the God that we serve. Lord, we've come here many times. Many of us have just come to hear the message and to go on about the same routine. Lord, we're asking you to make some changes in our hearts today. We're asking you to break whatever those chains are, whether they be habits or discouragements, attitudes, or simply just giving up. Just can't bear the load anymore. I know there's many that have been through some heavy, heavy battles. Maybe they've just come just to find some rest, find some peace. Lord, would you provide that for their hearts today? Oh, Lord, stir us to a point of worship that we'll stand in awe of you. For only you are worthy of our praise, only worthy of our lives, the only one that's worthy of all that we have. And we give that to you as the creator of the universe, as big and as vast as we still yet trying to understand all of your creation, but yet you come to visit us personally as you are here today. Lord, may we honor you in all that is said and done. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 8, we're going to begin with verse 26. Then they sailed to the country of Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee, and when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in the house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. We see that Jesus had just performed some miracles, and in fact, even on his way, we see on the Sea of Galilee that he calmed the raging sea. We see that he's able to do great and miraculous things. We see that he has even healed some people. We see a sinful woman was forgiven. We see that the widow of Nain, her son was raised. Isn't that exciting? You know, as pastors, we have to deal with the loss of life. We have to deal with grieving families. We have to deal with going to funeral services. But Jesus interrupts funeral services. Amen. They were carrying her son to bury him, and he put a stop to that. That come much later. Only Jesus could do all these great things, but sometimes when we begin to see a man that is possessed with demons, we begin to wonder, is he even able to take care of the spiritual world? Is he able to overcome those things as well? And we find out that yes, that he is. This man that comes, we will find that he's even reveals his name as Jesus is asking and talking with the demons that's within the man. What is your name? And they reveal Legion. A legion is a term that the Romans would use. It could be anywhere from 3 to 6,000 soldiers. And so we understand, not exactly the number, but we understand that there were many demons within this man. He was in terrible shape, would you agree? I think we could even see that by the fact that he ran around unclothed. They tried to tie him. They tried to chain him. He would run throughout the tombs. The other Gospels would reveal to us as we read in the accounts that they give that he would cut himself and he would cry out and scream all throughout the tombs. Not the most ideal neighbor that you would want to have, would you agree? But the community was trying to contain him, trying to control him. No one ever was able to help him. When we begin to look into the things of the spiritual realm, we find a mystery, don't we? We talk about many things that we battle within ourselves, but sometimes I forget the spiritual battle that we fight on a daily basis. In John chapter 10, verse 10, we're reminded of what Satan is trying to do. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come, and that I is Jesus. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Abundantly means overwhelming, overflowing, in abundance that you can't even contain all that's coming in. Jesus says, you're just barely getting by, the same way that this man was. He was just barely surviving. The torment that was going on within him was unbearable. In fact, drove him to a point of trying to destroy himself, blinded to the realities of how to find help. The community was no help, but yet they tried to contain him, tie him up, shut him up. Whatever we can do, just make him quiet. Would you agree? But here's some realities that we find in watching Jesus handling these things. The Gadarean man came running. He came and bowed before him. And the first thing that I believe the demons, as they were speaking through the man, is do not torment us. They says, do not torment us before it's time. You know, as we look at this, we find that they were concerned about being thrown in the abyss. When we see in the text that they asked, begging Jesus, don't throw us into the abyss. What is the abyss? If we look in the book of Revelation, we find that he's talking about the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit is a place that is supernaturally holding the demons and those that are awaiting judgment. And in fact, we find at the end of the tribulation period, we see that there's a time that a great angel will come out of heaven with a chain, a mighty chain, and will chain up that dragon, which is Satan himself, and he will be cast into the bottomless pit or the abyss, and he will be sealed up for 1,000 years. And that makes way for the 1,000-year, the millennial reign of Christ to be upon the earth. But unfortunately, at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan will be released one more time to tempt the nations. But if you read the end of the book, we know who wins. Amen? Jesus takes care of that once and for all. So in this is, how do we understand the spiritual world? I know many times we're fearful is that, can one that is saved be possessed by a demon? The answer is no. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, we're reminded, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price, at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. As long as the Spirit of God is indwelling within you, then there is no place for the demons or for Satan to enter into you, because you belong to God. Do you see the blessed joy in that? Do you see the value in that? Do you see the alternative to that? I don't want anything to do with that, but Jesus is welcome. Amen? In 2 Corinthians 1:21, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. You see, the Spirit of God is that seal upon us that will keep us, if you will, unto that time and place that the Lord Jesus returns to take us home. So believers and children of God, should we just sit back and say, oh, okay, well, we've got it made. I don't have to worry about those things. Just the opposite. That's right. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 9, we see an interesting thought. Now, in this, Peter is kind of laying out in this chapter how that God is able to judge those who are sinful and have rejected, and he is able to judge sin, but yet he is able to constrain and keep and protect those who are righteous. He's able to separate out the two. And I think there was a very skillful job of how Jesus handled the Gadarean man, in that instead of just destroying him, he was able to deliver him from the demonic activity that was going on inside of him. The community wanted to do away with him. Remember? You see the contrast? They want to do away with him, chain him up, shut him up, get rid of him. But Jesus says, no. He sees the value in the soul of the one that he's trying to reach, the one that he's going to heal, the one that he's going to deliver. Now in 2 Peter, he kind of gives us an example of how God is able to separate all of these. In 2 Peter chapter 2, he says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Think about this. There is a difference between possession and oppression. As a child of God, we can be oppressed by the demonic activity around us. And when I refer to the demonic activity, I'm talking about the evil that is going on. I'm talking about the distortions of truth that is going on. I'm talking about those things that are trying to do away with the truths and the law and the purpose of God, whether it is obvious or even if it is subtle. It is still demonic activity that is trying to undo what God is going to accomplish. You understand, the demonic activity is not going to stop God, but it can greatly affect what God is trying to do in and through you and I. You understand that, right? We already know who's going to win the war, okay? We already know who's going to win that. The Lord Jesus has that securely, that victory secured in his own hand right now. But how does that affect us? The reality is that look at the time that Lot had spent in Sodom. And we find, if you're familiar with that story, we find that Sodom, the only ones that made it out of the city, he had son-in-laws. And when they went to him, they thought he was a fool. It's not going to destroy. Things aren't going to get that bad. And so finally, his daughters were the only ones that went with him, and his wife only made it halfway out of the city, and she looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt because she longed for the things that were going on in Sodom. So let me ask you, does the evil that is around us have an effect? Yes, it does. It oppressed him. The filthy conduct of the wicked that he was around tormented him. Sometimes we think that, well, how bad can that be? The things that we see, the things that we watch, the things that we listen to, the things that we allow to enter in to begin to challenge our thinking in the biblical manner that we should be thinking and living and responding begins to oppress, begins to change. Now, somebody you think that, well, Lot was righteous, and so the Lord delivered him. So what's the problem? His family ignored him. His wife was judged because she wouldn't go with him. And then you know the incestuous relationship that came from his daughters when they ran into the mountains, into a cave, and the horrible things that went on there. And then it became a nation out of that incestuous relationship that has plagued Israel even yet today as a result of the oppression of the evil that was around them. The man came to Jesus and Jesus healed him. Jesus cast out the demons. No matter how many there were, no matter how deep they were, no matter how painful it was, Jesus healed them. Do you ever stop and wonder if we're allowing Satan to have much more of a foothold than he deserves? Do you think that we have allowed the evil things that are around us to begin to oppress us to the point that we have forgotten what Jesus is actually capable of? You know, we read of these things. These things are not fairy tales. These are not just stories that are not true, but yet this is a reality of what Jesus has and can and continues to do in and through our lives. The demonic activity that was in this man, I believe that this man was lost until he met Jesus, and Jesus set him free, and he became a saved man. That is where the change came from. So I want to ask you, how is it that we get lost in thinking that the things that are going on around us, well, you know, what's the big deal? When in reality that Jesus wants to set us free from the difficulties that we're struggling with. He wants to break us out of the wrong thinking, the wrong attitudes, the defeated attitudes. He wants to set us free. In Luke chapter 8, Christ sets the man free. Verse 32. Now a herd of swine was feeding there on the mountains, and so they begged him that he would permit them to enter in them. And he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. This is interesting that they wanted to go into the swine. They were looking for a body to possess. But here's something that really struck me and got me thinking of what this man must have been enduring. Obviously, this man was struggling and hurting. But yet, when all of those demons came out of the one man and went into an entire herd, now one of the other Gospels tells us that there was about 2,000. There were about 2,000. I think it was in the Gospel of Mark. There was about 2,000. The second that the demons entered into them, the entire herd ran down and killed themselves and ran off into the lake. Can you imagine the pain that he was going through? You know, when I had mentioned some of the miracles that Jesus had done and that he had accomplished before that he got here, and we always hear that Jesus can calm the storm, he can heal the lame, but what about the raging evil and heartache that's going on within me that I don't want anybody to know about? I'm scared to tell anybody about. I don't think anybody will understand. What do we do with those evils that are lurking in our hearts and minds? We bring them to Christ, folks, no matter how deep it is, no matter how dark it is. But here's what a sad situation is. As we look at this, we find that the herd runs down violently into the ocean, the sea. They've died. Verse 35. It says, then they went out to see what had happened. Some of the people from the community come out to see what was going on. And they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Think of this for a moment. People have odd responses to the Lord Jesus, don't they? Isn't it ironic in that the very one that loves them the most, that could help them the most, and is able to do any and all that they would possibly need, that they're afraid? Often the things that we can't explain cause us fear. But you know what? I think that we have fallen into the last couple years into a great deal of fear, and we've responded much the same way that these people in this community have. We're afraid of this. We're afraid of that. I'm even a nervous wreck when I leave the house without my cell phone. I'm a mess. You know, there used to be a time that I actually got in my car and drove about 10 or 12 hours in a car without a cell phone. Crazy, weren't we? Just lunatics. I can remember as a kid, I used to ride in the back of a pickup truck and went down a gravel road. Oh yeah, what were seatbelts, you know? Sometimes I believe that in our spiritual lives, Satan wants us so scared and so fearful. We've forgotten what God can really do. We've pigeonholed God into a little bitty corner and say, God, you stay right there. I'll take care of this. And then we go make a big mess. And then we find ourselves running around screaming in pain and say, what happened? What happened? It's time to realize what God is able to do and allow him to have control and follow his purpose and not our own. Can I just be honest with you? We've spent too much time at home. We've spent too much time at home in the comfort of our homes, streaming messages and streaming church into our house with our slippers on and our pajamas on and our cup of coffee on the side table. And we think that that's really worship. When you look at the scriptures, worship is just like this Gadarene man on his face before the Lord. And then later sitting at the feet of Jesus, learning of him in his right mind, clothed the way that he was supposed to be and God intended to be, learning. Every time, do you realize in Scripture, when someone come into the very presence of God, it wasn't a high-five, God, how you doing, knuckle, fist bump, or whatever expressions that we have. They were on their face in the ground. It wasn't that they felt like, I could be chummy-chummy with God, or I can be best friends. The only reason that we can even speak to God is because Jesus has shed his blood and died on the cross, and he has gone into the heavenly of heavenlies, into the temple not made with hands, and he sprinkled his own blood upon the altar of God so that we could even present our prayer, our needs, and our cries are heard from God the Father. It's not because of our holiness. In fact, when we come and see what true holiness is, we collapse without strength, without any ability to even stand. That is what happened in every example of Scripture that come before the God of heaven. So how are we supposed to respond to all of these situations? We need to get our thinking right. In Ephesians chapter 6, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the wiles of the tricks and deception. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. It's time for us to get uncomfortable, church. It's time for us to come running back to the Lord and realize our condition and say, God, this is a battle that is too big for us. It's time for us to realize that our sin is not something that you're handling. Sin is destroying us. Sin is winning. But yet when we bring Christ into the picture, we bring Christ into our lives, we find victory. Chains are broken. Ropes are broken. They're all put away so that we might find victory. But then we must continue in Christ in our daily walk with the Lord. We continue in that same battle. It's just that now we have one that is fighting for us. It's not us doing the fighting, but the Lord Jesus fighting for us. Let me touch on Romans chapter 6. He says, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawless leading to more lawlessness, so now, he's talking to believers, now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Not until Jesus comes and sets us free from our sin can we truly live for Christ. I want us to look at one last point. Go tell what God has done for you. This man's life was changed, wasn't it? Everything was changed for the better. You know what? This man finally found somebody that loved him. Someone that was willing to change things, able to change things for him. I'm going to go to Mark chapter 5. Mark gives a little more detail in this conversation. It says, and when he got into the boat, that's Jesus. Notice that he is capitalized. So when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. Wouldn't you? Don't leave me here in this town, a bunch of people that don't like me. They couldn't do nothing for me. I don't need them. I need you. I can relate to that, can't you? You ever kind of ask yourself and wonder sometimes, why do we have to stay around here? Why can't we just go home and be with the Lord once we're saved? Yeah, I'm with you, but I have an answer for you. However, Jesus did not permit him. Oh, doesn't that just strike you at the heart? The Lord said no. Well, what'd he say? But he said to him, go home to your friends. Tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. So he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Do you know why the Lord doesn't take us home right after salvation? Because you've got a job to do. You have a story to tell. You've got a testimony to share. Now, I'm with you. I've already got this excuse. I know you're thinking it. Well, I didn't have 3,000 to 6,000 demons in me, and I didn't run around naked, praise the Lord, for my family, and screaming and yelling and keeping everybody up and running through the graveyard. And the church all goes, praise the Lord for that, right? But sometimes we think that, wow, wouldn't that be a great testimony? I don't want to live through it to find that, amen? I can remember as kids, and one year at church camp, there was a young guy that came, and he was living with a foster family, and he came from Miami. Handsome dude, I'm telling you, dark complexion, thin guy, real athletic. I was almost jealous of him. No, I was jealous of him. Just a good-looking guy. And so, I mean, everybody at church camp was just oogling all over him. He was just the greatest guy. He got saved at church camp. Man, I'm telling you, it was just exciting. It was one of those years that the Spirit of God was working in an incredible way. And he got up and shared his testimony. Good grief. It was amazing of what the Lord had delivered him from, and he shared his testimony. And I mean, I think there was several people saved that night just from the testimony. And I can remember going home and telling Dad, man, I wish I had a testimony like that. Now, I knew what I meant as a kid in my mind. And Dad goes, so you wanted to be beat up? You wanted to be left for dead? You wanted to be in drugs? And you didn't want to have a family? And you didn't want to have parents? And I'm like, oh, yeah, wait a minute. I don't think I want a testimony like that. But here's the answer. Each one of us have a story to tell of the good things that God has done for you. Each one of us have something that we could not overcome, but God gently come in and destroyed that chain and says, now come with me. I'm going to make you the way that you need to be. I'm going to make you the way that you want to be. You know what's exciting? He told the man to go home. He said, just go home and tell them what God has done for you. And you notice he didn't stop there. That's why I used Mark, is that he went on into Decapolis. Now you're thinking, well, what's Decapolis? That's a great question. It is 10 cities under the Greek influence. Now, they've kind of made a way that they were subservient to Rome, but yet they still had some independence. They even coined their own money here in the Decapolis. But it's 10 large cities, a huge region. And he went all throughout the region, sharing what great things that God had done for him. Now, sometimes we'll be thinking, it's like, wow, that's great, but what was the response? We get the response, don't we? And they said, all marveled, right? Now, many of the people that were there putting up with him when he was lost said, we don't want anything to do with him. We're afraid of him. We want Jesus out of here. And I don't know what they did to him, but he stayed. But he carried his testimony. How many of you are sharing your testimony? Do you realize that when we look at the Great Commission, that it's not an option? When Jesus came and he spoke to them saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth, do you see the authority that we go with? It's not yours, it's his. Go therefore, you know that word go? The direct translation is, as you are going. As you're going to work, as you're going to school, as you're going to the grocery store, as you're going wherever, whatever hobby, whatever you do, as you are going, what? Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Now go do it by yourself. No, he said, lo, I'm with you. I'm with you all the way, even to the end of the age. We're going to do this together. You know, the Gadarene man, something special was made of his life. Something special was made that changed him. You know, not everybody's going to give you the response that you hope for. Many of them saw the Gadarene man and thought, this is some crazy stuff. We just want to get away from it. You know what? They were still pouting about all the 2,000 pigs that ran down the hill and died. It hit their pocketbook. But can you not see that going on in our day and age today? We've got so many hurting, so many suffering, but yet we don't want to take care of it. You know why? Because we can't.
Something beautiful.
Only Jesus can. And folks, that is why his example is more powerful than ever before.
All my we're
busy avoiding the service. We're avoiding the cost. We're avoiding even some of the own chains that's chaining us down our own lives. We've spent the last 2 years getting comfortable, thinking church is something that it's not. And we completely sidestepped
but he made
the duty that's been given us to go and share what great things that God has done in our lives. Do you realize that if God never give you one more blessing from today to the day that you die, you still would have a lifetime of blessing to share all that he has done? Do you realize that? Sometimes we think that, well, there's just not that much great going on. Well, my friend, there is, and there already has.
He understood.
We share the gospel of Christ.
All I had,
even the simple message can change the lives of individuals.
Was broken.
So why are we sidestepping the most glorious story that we could ever share? Is your story of coming to Christ.
Of my life.
Maybe you don't have that story today. Maybe you're just thinking in your own heart and mind and thinking, well, you know, I would like to know, but I'm not sure that I'm not going to keep you much longer. But what I am going to do, as Pastor Mike and myself are going to be up here in the front. And if you don't have that story to share, that you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that you've been set free from the sin, the consequences of your sin, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that you have an eternal home in heaven, Not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus has done. If you don't know the answer to that question, I invite you to come. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, as we come before you today, what a powerful message, what a powerful reminder.
God,
you're able to do any and all things, no matter what realm you're in, no matter what the need is, no matter how serious the situation may be. You're able to visit us knowing exactly the concerns of our heart. But more than that, you come lovingly to deliver us, to love us, to grow us, and then use us. Oh, Lord, there's no greater king to serve than you. There's no greater privilege than to share a message and a story that has been handed to us freely, but cost you everything. Lord, may we never tire as your church until we're able to communicate the love that you have shown us to those that do not know you. Lord, I know there's many that don't want to hear it. They're frustrated about it. They're fearful of it. They mislabel you. They blame all the bad stuff on you when the Bible tells us and you remind us that every good and perfect gift comes from heaven above. Pain, the suffering, the death, the hurt, the confusion, the bitterness, the anger, it's all a result of our own sin. It's our own doing. Not just as individuals, but as a collective of our human nature. So Lord, could we just start by not blaming you for the things that you haven't done and start glorifying you for the things that you have done? Lord, we need our hearts and minds cleared out. We need a revival. We need to be renewed. We need to wake up. We've got a lot of friends and family that are lost, and we sit by, neglecting our duties. Lord, we thank you for the example of Scripture to remind us that we are yours. And we can know that we have an eternal home in heaven. And it's all based upon the credit of the Lord Jesus. So, Lord, I pray for each one here today that hearts will be broken, lives will be changed, and we'll see faithfulness as a result. May you bless your people as we go into the mission field today. May your blessing be upon each family and home that's represented today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.